This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. After a series of arrests of Cincinnati City Council members this year, City Hall has new faces, including our first guest today. Steve Gooden was appointed to serve in the place of the suspended Jeff Pastor, who faces federal corruption charges. Another council member, P.G. Sittenfeld, accepted a suspension this week as well. He also faces federal corruption charges, though his interim replacement has not yet been named. Both Pastor and Sittenfeld are fighting their charges. So let's talk about life and business at City Hall today. Councilman Gooden, already got your name wrong. First appearance on the show, I apologize for that. Councilman Gooden, welcome to the program.
Hey, thank you. Happy to be here.
So you are appointed to the council in place of Jeff Pastor, who is fighting federal corruption charges. This is designed to be a temporary move as this federal case goes on. But as federal cases do, this could drag on through the end of Pastor's term next year. So you could be on the council for about a full year. I want to note that Hamilton County Probate Judge Ted Winkler, who appointed you, said, quote, "Of all the experience to hit the ground running, he has the honesty and the integrity to help everyone in Cincinnati, not just a select few, but everyone." Do you agree with that characterization of yourself?
It would sound less than humble to agree with that characterization. I have a huge amount of respect for Judge Winkler and his family. I mean, the entire family's been dedicated to public service. They tend to approach things in a very nonpartisan way, and I think that's something that he and I sort of bonded over during my interview with him. So all I can say is we're absolutely going to do our best. I am an insider at City Hall in terms of knowledge, but an outsider in terms of perspective, and we're going to do our absolute best to keep the taxpayers and the citizens' interests up front.
Well, this might be some insidery stuff, too, and maybe some insider baseball, but, I mean, you were interviewed by the judge. I think some of us might be curious about how this process played out. It's been a very strange year for Cincinnati government and the way you came about becoming a councilman through the courts. What was that process like? How did it work?
Well, it's been a strange process, and it's one that, you know, I'm a lawyer by trade, and it sent me back to the Ohio Revised Code to see by what authority the judge was obligated to do this. This, to our knowledge, is the first time this has ever happened in Cincinnati or Hamilton County, that a judge has been placed in this unfortunate position where they have to make the appointment. It is state law that it goes to the probate court. And I think to the judge's credit, you know, he didn't do a big public process. I mean, he didn't involve political parties in the process. I don't know precisely who else he talked to. He knew from press reports of my interest. He reached out to me, and we spent about 2 hours together in his chambers talking about my approach and what it would be. And then he made that selection. I do know that there were other folks under consideration, but it is his sole discretion, and he did not make it some sort of big partisan thing, which I think was to his credit.
So there wasn't a scenario in which you submitted an application or anything. You were called up by the judge.
I was called by the judge. Yes.
And we'll note that, I guess, the way this process has worked, in addition to the judge handling it, it's because Councilman Pastor, who faces federal corruption charges, has not resigned his seat. He has simply accepted a suspension, which means, in a way, Councilman Gooden, you are technically a placeholder right now because Pastor could be acquitted and come back to council. Is that correct?
That is, I guess, technically correct, but I think it's pretty unlikely under these circumstances. Under the law, the only way he comes back and resumes the seat is if he is acquitted or if the indictment is dismissed. And what I've said, too, though, I think there are things that occurred that are alleged in those indictments, even if the indictments were to somehow be dismissed, that I would think would be otherwise disqualifying from public life. And I think even if he were to come back, you know, I suspect the citizens who can step forward to try to remove them under a separate process would be right back there, too. It's the same thing, unfortunately, with Council Member Sittenfeld is just the statements that are put forth in these indictments that these individuals made, I think, disqualify them from public life no matter what happens in the criminal process.
We're talking with Steve Gooden, appointed to Cincinnati City Council by Hamilton County Probate Judge Ted Winkler in place of the indicted Jeff Pastor. I want to note Councilman, that you said shortly after your appointment, quote, "The crisis facing Cincinnati is not one of right and left. It's one of right and wrong." And you've suggested that there is systemic corruption at City Hall. Can you expand upon that?
No, absolutely. And I think, you know, I think if we just look at this as a quote unquote, a few bad apples, I think we do ourselves a huge disservice. We do a massive disservice to the taxpayers and the citizens of the city if we look at it that way. I mean, of course, there are some bad apples here. There are some uniquely unethical and criminal actions that were undertaken here. But we have to look at the system that allowed it all to occur. And I think the place where we obviously have to start is looking at how the city handles its economic development business. Why were the economic development professionals overruled in certain cases and worked around? In my mind, the idea that nine individual council members can involve themselves in the minutiae of economic development projects is an open invitation to graft and corruption, and we have to deal with that. That is a systemic problem, and just throwing up the few bad apples defense and maybe passing a couple surface ethics reforms doesn't get at that. I think we need to take our time here. I think we need to look at our charter. I mean, our charter is almost 100 years old. It does not in any way, shape, or form address the realities of modern municipal finance and modern economic development projects or public-private partnerships, which are so crucial to moving the city forward right now. And I think we have to take this opportunity. I mean, this is another Murray Sessegnon moment. We have to really fundamentally look in the spirit of the original charter at what we need to do to bring that good government, those good government concepts forward to 2020 and 2021.
You take office under unusual circumstances, of course, and we are all living in unusual circumstances right now. I understand City Hall is still closed due to the COVID-19 pandemic. So how have you been able to, so far in your very short time on council, been able to reach out to other members of council, meet with them if necessary?
Right. I've had quite a few, telephone calls with council members, with the city manager, with the mayor, and some Zoom calls and so forth. But you're right. City Hall is closed. You know, I was in City Hall for, my swearing in was surreal. I was there for all of 5 minutes. I walked in, took the oath, said a couple of words, and was quickly ushered out onto the steps, and that's just the reality of the way things have to be right now. It has been unusual. It's become just like my day job. It's been essentially a remote work environment. But I have been reaching out to a lot of the different stakeholders here in town, and they've been reaching out to me. We've had some very good conversations about what needs to happen. It's like I said, that we have our work cut out for us, and we're hoping to, we'll be meeting again as early as next week, and hopefully we'll be able to hit the ground running.
You referred to this as a Murray Sessegnon moment. We'll note that he was, of course, the founder of the Charter Party in Cincinnati. He was a mayor of Cincinnati about 100 years ago almost. How quickly should we expect some form of legislative action in response to what many have referred to as a culture of corruption at the city building?
Well, I think we're going to see two or three, frankly, waves of response to this. I mean, first, there are some things that I think can be addressed potentially just by ordinance. And I would hope that we would see those pretty quickly within the next few weeks. We are talking to the law department and trying to figure out, legally what we can do just as a council. And I think, and I'm assuming and hoping that there is an appetite with the council as it will be reconstituted, certainly after this next appointment, to address those sorts of things pretty quickly. But, I also think that, there's a longer question here about what needs to happen to the charter and how much of this needs to be memorialized, in the charter, particularly in terms of economic development and how we deal with our human services budget and lobbying reform. And there's a number of things that fed into this, culture that we have here and allowed these sorts of things to happen. And I just keep thinking about one of my law partners used to tell me, for every complicated question, there is always a simple answer, and it is invariably wrong. And I don't want us to just kind of, make some, have go for the PR hits, as we see, and go for the good, Twitter, go for the good tweets and throw out a couple ethics reforms and move on. This will take time. I presume that it will require hearings. I presume that we will want to hear from the honest and hardworking civil servants in the city who have been subject to, I presume, a great deal of pressure and have seen their projects interfered with by politics. I think we owe it to the taxpayers and the public to delve into that. And I think this, if we're going to have public buy-in to any of our fixes here, they have to, our process has to be transparent, and it has to be, we have to have public support and buy-in. So, I mean, I really see this as something that stretches minimally into the spring, if not into the summer, as we try to figure all this out. We didn't get here overnight. We're not going to get out of it overnight.
We're talking with Steve Gooden, newly appointed to Cincinnati City Council in place of the suspended Jeff Pastor, who faces federal corruption charges. Councilman, I'll ask, you know, you're joining City Council in a very strange period. We've been over that portion of things, but I imagine there might be an occasion soon where you're dealing with other issues outside of this, the current corruption situation, these charges that multiple council members are facing, maybe even on the other side of the pandemic where we're not dealing with that so much. What other issues are you excited to tackle?
I'm very excited to tackle a lot of these issues. And frankly, I mean, I think that's the great tragedy of this current crisis, this current corruption crisis that we're facing, is that that we have not been able to face the other issues. There are considerable issues facing the city. You know, first and foremost, you know, engineering the best possible pandemic recovery we can. I mean, is I think priority number one. I mean, our downtown, I've been told very recently lived downtown. I can tell you it's suffering. Our small businesses are suffering, and we have to find some way to provide the maximum amount of relief there that we can. You know, we obviously are going to, you know, I believe as we head into the new year, we continue to have a massive issue with human services. We're going to have to find the best way we can to support folks, everything from the homeless community on down, that desperately needs some help coming out of the pandemic. And as we try to figure that out, but also, you know, crime has emerged. It's a serious issue. I mean, we have had an unacceptable spike in violent crime on our streets, you know, much of it related, we think, to the pandemic. We need to be, very forthright in addressing that. And the city's finances will continue to be an issue. I mean, it's sort of an open secret that, again, our pension fund has suffered in part because of the market crashes related to the pandemic. And I think we'll have to look again, get serious and long-term fixes to the city's pension plan. That's not a very exciting one, but it's the city's biggest single asset, and it hangs over our finances like a dark cloud. And that's something that there's going to be a lot of hard work there, but I'm happy to take that up as we head into 2021.
Councilman, I saw it reported that back when Councilwoman Amy Murray stepped aside from council to take a job with the Trump administration, that you had been on the short list to replace her in the more traditional way council members are replaced. Does that indicate that you have interest in being on council beyond this appointment? Do you plan to be a candidate?
I believe so. I mean, I'm still kind of weighing my options there. And it's sort of an open secret that I have been looking at a campaign. Except I've been working in City Hall, either as a lawyer or working with the Economic Development Department, or working on the pension fund, working on issues, you know, with the national bond rating agencies. And, you know, I've been a part for years of when S&P comes to town or Moody's comes to town. I do have a real understanding of the city's finances and strong opinions there. So, yes, I had been very much considering for the past year getting involved in politics at the city level. And that's something I'm strongly considering right now. But, you know, frankly, I don't feel like this is a time for politics. You know, I've had, my phone's been burning up from some political observers who say, you know, why aren't you out there announcing your campaign? Why don't you have a fund? Why don't you have a Twitter, you know, a Facebook account and a new website and so forth? And I said, you know, my response is, frankly, that's not what I was appointed to do. We have a mess that needs to be cleaned up immediately. There'll be time enough for politics here after the first of the year.
We've got about a minute left, Councilman. I want to note that you are a father of three. You live in Clifton, and you are a military veteran. You served in the Peace Corps as well. So what do you think is something that people who are just now getting acquainted with you will find most surprising?
I think they would find most surprising, perhaps, my deep love for music. You know, I think I perhaps could seem like a pretty serious guy. I certainly fear I have on this conversation. But one of the things I've enjoyed the most in the past year was working on the King Records board and trying to bring back and rehab and the King Records building over in Evanston to tell that story. You know, my great passion and love is music collecting. You know, I moved recently and my family is very upset about the 1,200 vinyl albums that I had them haul up to the third floor in my new music room. And I obsess about music. And on a lot of Saturday afternoons, you'll find me in a record store going through a bunch of old records, which is just, that's what I do. It's what I've been doing since I was a teenager, and I have no intention of stopping. But Cincinnati also does have that rich music tradition. It's a wonderful story, and I hope more people learn about it.
Councilman Steve Gooden, thanks so much for the time you gave us. We'll look forward to talking again.
Thank you. Take care.
And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer of today's show is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Our theme music is composed by Rob Fetters. You can find archives of our program online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks.